search for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, and the ransom was paid. I was freed, and I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
All right. Wonderful. And if you know Jesus Christ, you're free. You've been freed from the bondage of sin. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. Thank you, choir. Thank you, all the special musicians this morning. What a great day it is. I knew it was going to be a good day because I got up this morning at 60 degrees. So I knew it was going to be good. I went outside and I thought, man, I'm going to need a hoodie. And praise God. Hopefully this is the beginning of fall. Amen. Now listen, for those of you that are new to Texas, we only have two seasons here. Hot and cold. That's it. It's all the seasons we have. So if you're here and you're new and you're looking for the changing of the colors, they go from green to brown. Right? And from nothing to green. That's it. That's the only seasons we have. And so welcome to Texas. Take your Bible, if you would, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 15. As you're turning there, let me just say quickly to, if you're new to the Bible or you're visiting with us this morning, by the time we get to the portion of Scripture that we're going to read, God has now formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and he has become a living soul. He was not part of a piece of dust that came out of the cosmos somewhere that just fell to earth, and all of a sudden he laid there, and pretty soon he went, come on, help me out now. That wasn't it. I don't care what you've been taught. Okay, it didn't happen that way. God created him and breathed into his nostrils, and the biblical account says he became a living soul. He didn't have to evolve into something. You know, I often thought, this is not what I'm going to preach on, but I often thought about people who believe in that theory. Okay, it's not fact. It's theory. How can they explain, why isn't it continually going on among human beings? Why is it not happening? Now, that's not what I'm preaching on. I'm just saying, give you something to think about. I'm just saying that where we are in the Scriptures, now God has breathed now into his nostrils, he became a living soul. Now, when he created man, he put man in a garden. He says, now, I want you to keep the garden. He says, now, I've got one rule that I have in the garden. And that one rule is what I want to look at just a moment. Let's stand together, chapter number 2, Genesis chapter 2, hymn number 15. How about verse number 15? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now that's a gracious God, isn't it? He said, I've created it, I've put you in here, you can have anything you want, except, verse 15, or 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely, does your Bible say die? Now I want you to listen to me. These dear people we saw on the platform this morning, their whole focus, their whole job is to protect. Their whole job is that when the need arises, their job is to respond. Their job is to save life, right? Their job is to respond, evaluate the situation, and do everything that they can to spare life. That's what they do on earth. But can I say something to you? There was a greater responder in the history of the world. There was a greater responder in history than what these dear people, and I love them and I appreciate them, but there was a greater responder than them. And he responded to man's need. He responded in our time when we, as you notice there, we know that Adam partook of that fruit. And did God keep his promise? Yes. And what happened was, he didn't die physically, but he died spiritually, which caused separation from God forever and ever. But thank God, he responded. He responded. I want to speak to you this morning about the greatest responder in history. The greatest responder in history. Now, Father, would you bless our time this morning? Thank you for your goodness, your grace. Bless us now. And all that we do, we'll certainly give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you're visiting with us this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to set aside your denominational affiliation for just a moment, okay? I want you to listen to a story that I'm going to tell you here in just a moment. Because we've read here in the Scripture that God created man and He put him in a garden and He gave him one instruction, don't eat of this tree. You can eat of any other tree, but don't eat of this one. Well, we know that He did, and the problem that came, and God responded, though. That word respond means to answer. It means to reply to. You see, all of these great people, and by the way, can I say to our first responders this morning, these are our American heroes. These are the people that we ought to be pointing our children to look up to, people that are actually serving and doing something profitable. Instead of pointing them to professional athletes, instead of pointing them to movie stars and rock stars, how about let's point them to some great Americans that are actually doing something that's profiting life, that's helping people, that's investing in the lives of people. You see, these men and women giving their lives to helping others and answering the call for help, even if it means putting their life in harm's way. Can I say that this is not just a job to them, this is a way of life. These people that we saw on our platform a while ago, they don't just become a responder when they put their uniform on. This is a way of life to them. This is their calling. This is what they chose to do. This is what they've given their lives for, to protect us, to love us, to care for us. And may I say, whether they're on the clock or not, in their heart, they have the obligation. Oh, by the way, they have the knowledge as well to help people. And if it's in their power to do it, I promise you, there's not a person that was on this platform that wouldn't help you, even if they weren't in uniform. You see, this profession is one that they chose. Nobody twisted their arm. They chose to go this direction. Each made a choice to go through some rigorous training and testing that they went through before they could be called a first responder. And each have a passion for their job, the position that they hold in our community. You see, church, not only did they choose this job, they had to qualify for this job. You know, as I look around at these responders here this morning, you ought to have them take you aside sometime and tell you the training that they had to go through to become what they are. You see, the thing about it is somebody just didn't say, hey, you want this badge? Wear this badge. You'll be a responder. Here's a uniform. No, they had to go through some training. Listen, they had to qualify to be a responder. They had to go through the testing and the training. But you know what? When the need arises, they respond. When the call comes in, they respond. And sometimes there's a short period of time between the call and the response. Wouldn't it be great, responders, that once the call came, you could be there immediately? But normally there's a time factor. There's normally a space of time that passes from the time the call comes in to the time they respond to the actual scene. You see, when they arrive, they don't just jump in. The first thing they do is they evaluate the situation. They don't just jump into it. They look at it and find out, what can I do? What does the situation call for? And then they act accordingly. Many of you probably know this story that I'm going to tell you, but I want you to listen very carefully to it. Many of you probably have heard the story, but I want to tell you the story of a couple just recently married. They had everything going their way. They were in love. They had a new home. They were blessed of God. And they were experiencing all the joys of the married life. They had been blessed, and the husband had the ideal job. He had all the benefits that come with the job. The wife had an opportunity to spend time with her husband, and they enjoyed. A lot of times we find out that what they did is they took walks, and they just enjoyed being together and loved each other and just were thankful that they had each other. And so they were deeply, deeply in love. Everything was going great. Everything was going their way until one day an intruder broke into their home. The intruder broke into their home and took everything of value that they had. And then he left them dead. You say, that's a terrible tragedy. You say, that's awful. You see, sudden tragedy struck this couple. Sudden tragedy struck this home. Listen, and it resulted in their death. And the intruder took everything. This tragedy that I'm talking to you about today exceeds the most incredible accident that an EMT worker could show up on. This tragedy that I'm talking about today exceeds any crime scene that a police officer could show up on. This tragedy that I'm talking about today exceeds any fire that's ever been recorded, any tragedy that any of our responders could respond to. You see, this couple, this tragedy that I'm talking about this morning, you know their names. You've seen the headlines before. They don't have a last name. They just have first names. Their names are Adam and Eve. You see, the thing about it is, they were wonderful, newly married, had everything at their disposal, a new home. Listen, how would you like the job that Adam had? Perfect, ideal, with all the benefits. Everything was attached to this job. Everything was going their way. They were happy. They were excited. And then tragedy struck. An intruder broke in. An intruder brought in his evil lies and deceptions and deceived them and tricked them into doing the one thing God told them not to do. There we know that tragedy brought sin into the world. And it's plagued mankind ever since. Unfortunately, sin cost them their new home. And because of sin, it cost Adam his job. It cost them their testimony and their joy and their influence, their fellowship. Listen, and it eventually cost them their life. But God. The intruder broke in, stole everything of value that they had, and left them for dead. Not physically, spiritually. Because remember, the scripture said, God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But listen to me. But God came walking one day in the cool of the day He already knew about this couple. He already knew what they had gone through. He already knew. And listen, he found them hiding. You know why? Because they had lost everything. He found them and they had confessed that the intruder had broken in, and they had listened to the intruder and had listened to his lies. But thank God, the first one on the scene right after that was the greatest responder in the history of the world. God responded to their need. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, listen now, he addressed the intruder and he addressed the fallen. And here's what he said. He said, to the intruder, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, and listen to this, and her seed. Her seed shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Can I say that when the greatest responder in the history of the world responded to the greatest need in the history of the world, he didn't cast them out. He didn't kick them to the side. He didn't, listen, do away with them and start over. He evaluated the situation and responded appropriately. Just like these people do. They evaluate and they respond. They evaluate and they do what's necessary to be done. And that's what God did. God put in motion a plan. God that day put in motion the plan that would one day give man the opportunity to be redeemed back to Him. You see, God chose to be that responder. Nobody twisted God's arm. God could have said, you know what? I gave these people an opportunity. They didn't obey. I'm starting over. But He didn't. He responded in the same way that He's always responded. You see, God knew, listen now, that man could not save himself. God knew that there was nothing now that man could do to undo what he had done. Somebody had to respond. I'm looking back here at Miss Lundy. I'm sure that there are scenes that she shows up on that there are people that are unconscious. There are people that are there, and maybe they're in a situation to where, listen, they cannot do anything for themselves. So who do they have to depend on, Jessica? They depend on you, right? They have to depend on you to help them because they cannot do anything for themselves. You see, God chose to be this great responder. Nobody twisted His arm. He did it because He loved us. He did it because He cared about us. You see, He made the choice out of His own knowledge of the needs of man. He saw the need, and you know what He did? He responded. God responded with a promise that He would provide a redemption for mankind, and that one day, man could choose whether he wanted to respond. Man could choose one day whether he wanted to take that gift of what God responded, that gift of salvation. I want you to hold your place there in Genesis 2 and go to Luke chapter 10, because God gives us a New Testament picture of a spiritual truth. Luke chapter number 10. Turn there if you would with me. Luke chapter number 10. You'll recognize it when you get there. Luke chapter number 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, would you say we got a problem here? Would you say that this is a man that cannot help himself? Would you say that this is a man that they took everything that he had of value on him, and then they attacked him and left them for half dead? Listen, would y'all agree with me? This guy needs somebody to respond. This guy needs a responder, somebody that can help him because he cannot help himself. Well, we know that in verse number 31, it says, and by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, did he respond, church? He passed by on the other side. Then look at verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, I don't know if this man was conscious or not, but let me tell you something. he's 0 for 2. He's there, half dead, beat up, taken of everything of value that was on him, and he's already had two people that have passed by him, and not a single one of them stopped to help him. Not a one. But a certain Samaritan, one of the most unlikely individuals in all Scripture, a guy that most of the world would look at and say, you know what, you're a nobody. You're nothing. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, notice this, came where he was. You see, the thing about it is the Levite and the priest didn't pass by on accident. They came that way. He was laying by the roadside. Everybody traveled that way. That was a main thoroughfare between Jerusalem and Jericho. And he was there, and they left him. Showed no care for his soul. Showed no care for his well-being. They left him. But a Samaritan, who out of the divine providence of God, passed that same way. But notice the different result here. It says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he saw what condition he was in. He saw that he was helpless. He saw that he could not do anything for himself. It says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He was moved, church. He was moved based on that man's condition. And he had compassion on him. Now listen, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an end. Look at this last phrase. And took care of him. You say, so what does that have to do with the responder? Because you know who that Samaritan pictures? That Samaritan that we just read about pictures the greatest responder in the history of the world. It pictures none other than our loving, caring, divine God that looked at you and I just like He looked at that young, wonderful, beautiful married couple that had everything going their way, and an intruder broke in, took everything of value that they had, and left them for dead. But God responded. That Samaritan responded. And it's a wonderful picture of our great responder, because He sees what we are. He knows who we are. He knows that we cannot save ourselves. May I remind you, please listen, church, that throughout the Scriptures, God has proven Himself as a trustworthy responder. May I remind you that Israel was in Egyptian bondage for 400 years, and the people cried out unto God, and God responded with a deliverer. He sent Moses to them and He delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. May I remind you, they came to the edge of a sea called the Red Sea. The enemy was pressing against them and they cried out to the responder again. Listen, and He split the Red Sea and they went over on dry ground. Hey, God's 2 for 2. He responds. He's trustworthy. Wait a minute, it didn't stop there. They got on the Red Sea. God closed that thing up. Just a few days later, they said, we're thirsty. Listen, the responder responded. And he brought water out of a rock. Now, I don't know about you. I haven't seen that. If you haven't seen water come out of a rock, but he did for them. He responded again. And then they said, oh, but we're not only thirsty, we're hungry. We want something to eat. God said, that's fine, I'll take care of that too. And He rained manna. And people began to eat, they began to drink. God responded again. We know that this people had no law and no instructions. So you know what the great responder did? He responded again. He gave them guidelines and laws to abide by. He gave them instructions of what they needed to do to serve Him and to love Him and to be right with Him. You see, Israel had no home. You see, when they left Egypt, they were homeless. They had no place to go. But listen, but the great responder responded again. And He gave them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Now, wait a minute. They didn't go in right away, but I got some good news for you. Did you know that because they disobeyed, because they didn't always walk the straight and narrow path, that did not keep the responder from responding. You know, I'm sure that when these dear people that are up on this platform, I'm sure that when they go to a scene, I'm sure that if they see a person in need that needs their aid, I'm sure, Brother Caleb, you don't run them over to them and say, no, wait a minute, I need to ask you some questions before I can help you. Listen, that's not what he's there for. He's there to help them and maybe save their life. He's not there to play 40 questions. And may I remind you that we have a God in heaven that cares and loves you enough that he's not here to play 40 questions. He's here to save your soul. Because you can't save yourself. We need him. And he responded to Israel. God has responded over and over to the cry of his people. They were not always the most obedient. They were not always the most thankful, but it didn't stop him from responding. You see, he responded in spite of their feelings for him. May I remind you that man had no hope, but God responded. Man had no hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, listen to it. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen, having no hope and without God in this world. Well, we're in bad shape, aren't we? We're kind of like that man that was on the side of the road on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho. We're laying on the side of the road. Sin's beat us up. It's blackened our eye. It may have knocked some of us unconscious. You know what we're going to need? We're going to need a responder. We're going to need somebody that's going to respond to our needs. You say, well, preacher, has anybody responded? Yeah, because the Scripture says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, the thing about it is, when Adam and Eve, this wonderful, beautiful couple, when they fell, the call rang out in heaven, we need somebody to respond. Remember, I told you that these responders, from the time the call comes in to the time they respond, there's a period of time that goes by. Can I remind you that in this case, 4,000 years went by? Count them, folks, 4,000 years went by. But did God respond? Yeah, in the fullness of the time. When the time was exactly right, when the time was exactly when it needed to be, God sent forth his Son. And I know that Jesus qualified for a first responder because, you know what? The Scripture is very plain that he was born of a virgin. It's never happened. It was a sign, the Scripture says, that he would be the Messiah. He would be the answer to our problems. He would be the answer to restore this young couple and restore them to full faith in Christ. You see, Jesus qualified by his virgin birth. Hey, wait a minute. He qualified because he fulfilled Scripture. You remember in Genesis 3:15, the Father said, I'm sending an answer. I'm sending and the answer will come. It will come in my time. And Jesus qualified because he fulfilled Scripture. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. Hey, he responded. Glory to God. He said, yeah, but it was 4,000 years later. But he responded. And it was in his timing. You know, the thing about it is, Brother Haynes, you know the thing about it is, Brother Prez, I imagine that there are some people, when the 911 call comes in, it probably seems like 4,000 years before somebody gets there. But it's actually just a very small period of time. I don't know what the time response time is, but I imagine it's in minutes, right? It probably seems like a long time to them because they're in panic mode, right? We need help. We need help. We got to do something. It seems like an eternity. Where is everybody? For 4,000 years, you know what I think man was doing? Where is the answer? When is it going to happen? When is he coming? My goodness, it's been ages. But when the fullness of time was come, boom, there it was. Born of a virgin. He fulfilled Scripture. May I remind you that he also qualified by his crucifixion. You know how I know that God approved? Because when Jesus hung on that cross, He draped the world with darkness. And listen, go check me out. You will find in the history of nations and the people around the world in history, they have in their records recordings of a day where the world, where the sun went dark. Even in heathenistic records, God draped the world with darkness. And then you know what else He did? He took the earth and He shook it. You know what He's saying? Here's the answer. Wake up. I'm responding. It's time to wake up. Here He is. Listen, He qualified by His crucifixion. You see, that day God the Father showed that He approved of His Son and His qualifications to be the Messiah and the Savior of the world. They took the body of Jesus and they carried it and put it in a tomb. A lot of people thought, well, this is it. But 3 days and three nights later, listen, you know what God did again? He shook the earth again. Can you imagine those that were laying in their bed? An aftershock. Now you know what God's saying? It's finished. It's done. I've responded. I've given you the way. Now all, listen to me, let me finish this up and say, now what God in heaven is doing now is that He's done the work. And the Scripture says, but this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Because it's done. It's all through. God has responded. Listen to me. Now it's your time to respond. He's responded. He's given the answers. He's provided salvation. He's provided a church to attend where you can come and be taught. He's provided a book for you to read so that you know what the instructions are. Hey, listen, folks, what more do you want Him to provide? He's done it all. Greatest responder in the history of the world. Now you know what He's expecting you to do? Now it's your time. It's your time to respond. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. If I died today, I'm going to be with Jesus. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. I am a born-again believer, and I'm not ashamed of it. I want you to slip your hand up. Say, I'm going to testify in Jesus' name. All right? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, there were some who could not raise their hands, and I don't want them to leave this place today without knowing the Lord. Lord, You have responded. You've responded to our cry. You've proven Yourself trustworthy. And You've approved of the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I do not know who's saved and who are not, who's not. But I know this. You want them to be. You've responded. Now it's their turn to respond. Would You show Your might, please, during this invitation time? This is the opportunity that these people have to respond to the great responder's provision for their lives. And yet, Lord, you even go further, far beyond salvation. You provide a church. You provide us the Word of God. You provide fellowship among believers that we need to take advantage of. And Lord, please, would You help us in that area to do everything that we possibly can do to fulfill and strive for excellence in our lives? Would You have Your way in this invitation time, please? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. I wonder if there might be a few people. Several didn't raise their hand. I wonder, for those of you that could not raise your hand just a moment ago, I wonder if you'd allow me to pray for you and you'd raise your hand at this time and let me know, preacher, I don't know for sure that I've been born again. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven, preacher. It's just that no one's ever taken me aside and showed me how to be saved. It's not that I don't want to respond. I didn't know I needed to, but now I do. And if you couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago and say, preacher, I'm saved, would you let me pray for you right now? No one's looking but me. But so that I might know who you are, would you identify yourself? Nobody's looking at me, by just slipping your hand way up high and say, that's me. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure. If I died today, I'm going to heaven. I want to be saved. God bless you and you. You can put your hands down. Who would join these two? Say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. And I'll pray for you. Listen, God sent you to church today on purpose. Anybody? Anybody else will join these two? All right, maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I'm a born-again believer, but I've never been baptized after I got saved." Maybe some of you got saved in your home this week or yesterday. Maybe some of you got born into the family of God just recently, but you've never been baptized. You know what's the right thing to do. You say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need to obey God in the area of baptism." Won't you slip your hand way up high? Say, "That's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you and you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody that will join these three, say, "Preacher, it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I need to obey God in that area." Anybody else? All right, then one last thing. Maybe you're here this morning and you need a place to go to church. Maybe you're seeking God's will about a church home and you say, "Preacher, I need to get my family in church." I know it. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for us as we discern God's will. I want you to slip your hand up high and you say, "That's me. That's me." Say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I just ask that you would have your way in this invitation. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for direction. And we look forward to all that you're going to do in our services today. Would you help us, guide us, and lead us now, we pray. And we'll certainly give you the glory. Those that need to be saved, that they would come to be saved. Those, Lord, that need their lives transformed by the glory of God, that today would be the day. And, Lord, those that need to find a place to go to church, that today would be that day that you'd speak to their hearts, that they might come and join with us and to try to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please show your grace now this morning, we ask, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'll begin to sing. If you slipped your hand up, you say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." This is your opportunity to come. We'll have someone take you aside and show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, this is your time to come. Just step out, come down. We'll have one of these men explain to you what you need to do. Come on, come on. This is your opportunity. This is your time. This is your time. You come on, come on. And we'll help you. We're for you. We're not against you. We're for you. We ask, come on, come on. This is your opportunity to come. If you just need someone to pray with you, you come on, we'll have somebody pray with you. Whatever your need is, you come on, come on, come on.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Are you going to respond? Jesus responded to your need. He responded, went to an old rugged cross and died, rose again the third day, now sits at the right hand of God. Works finished.